Look, it's Friday, May 1st. We're heading into the weekend with a tech world pivoting from chatbots to AI agents that can actually pull the levers on your computer. Domestically, we're looking at a legal landscape for voting rights that's being redrawn in real time. And over at the track, the Kentucky Derby field is looking a lot more wide open than the bettors would like. Here's the thing. We've moved past the hobbyist phase of AI. We're moving into an era where pre-built infrastructure makes these agents incredibly easy to deploy. But the fundamental nature of the risk is shifting. According to recent reports, these agents are now being built with ARMs, proactive capabilities that allow them to execute tasks autonomously. This isn't just a smarter Clippy. We're talking about models with reasoning scores in the genius range and computer proficiency that beats human benchmarks. Because these agents have extended context windows, they can remember long-term tasks and execute them at a scale a human simply can't match. Which sounds great for productivity until you realize the attack surface just exploded. The industry is now tracking three specific types of risk here. First, there's shadow AI, where employees use unapproved tools. Then there's agent sprawl, where approved agents multiply until nobody is quite sure what they're all doing. Finally, there's the nightmare scenario, dark agent sprawl. These are unapproved, unobservable agents that essentially function as AI-native malware. Because these agents can blaze their own trail across different software, organizations are finding they lack the visibility to even see them, let alone stop them. The big players are trying to build guardrails, but the strategies vary. OpenAI is leaning on human approval workflows. Anthropic is trying to isolate agents in virtual machines to prevent prompt injection. That's when a malicious instruction gets hidden in a task. Meanwhile, Microsoft and Google are pushing governance frameworks to log every move an agent makes. The recommendation for businesses right now is a Monday morning playbook of bounded autonomy. The idea is to start agents in read-only mode and require a human to click yes before the AI deletes a file or changes a permission. But there's a reason people are rushing into this despite the risks. The money is following the tech. Google's Q1 earnings showed a 63% jump in cloud revenue, largely driven by enterprise adoption of their Gemini AI. They've got a $460 billion contract backlog. Even their embodied AI, Waymo, is now doing 500,000 autonomous rides a week. Honestly, it feels like we're building the world's most powerful engine before we've really figured out how the brakes work. But with $460 billion on the line, at Google alone, nobody's slowing down to check the pads. If you think those AI risks are a gamble, you should see what's happening at the track, where the stakes are high and the favorites are looking pretty shaky. The field for the 151st Kentucky Derby has been shaken up by a late scratch. Full Effort, winner of the Jeff Ruby Stakes, was withdrawn from the race due to a left hind crack. According to the Brisnet.com call-in show, the move was made to prioritize the horse's long-term welfare. This opening has cleared a path for O'Malley, a maiden, to draw into the field. From the tactical standpoint, the swap shouldn't actually change the math much for the other riders. Both Full Effort and O'Malley are deep closers, so the projected pace of the race stays more or less the same. The scratch of Full Effort isn't the only health-related exit this week. Silent Tactic was also forced to withdraw due to a foot bruise. That move left jockey Christian Torres without a Derby mount, though he's still scheduled to ride Search Party in the Kentucky Oaks. Looking at the board, the field is being described by handicappers as unusually flat. There is no clear-cut monster this year. Relentless has emerged as the betting favorite, and he's picked up by Rad Ortiz Jr. in the irons. If you're looking for value in the chaos, a few names are popping up. Chief Wallaby is sitting at 13-1. Trainer Bill Mott is known for being methodical, so the fact that he's adding blinkers and entering a horse with limited experience suggests he thinks the horse has made a massive mental leap. There's also the Puma, who James Scully of Brisnet is eyeing for a large win bet. The logic there is that the Puma was forced to move too early in the Florida Derby. With a more patient trip, he could blow up the superfecta. We see this every year, the Derby fever, where everyone talks themselves into a long shot. But with the favorites looking vulnerable, this season feels particularly fragile. It's a reminder that in this sport, the most important person in the race is often the one holding the vet's clipboard, not the whip. Of course, the real horses these days are the private equity firms, and they're currently galloping through every other sport on the map. Major League Soccer is teaming up with private equity giant KKR to launch a new venture called Hometown Soccer Holdings. The goal here is to centralize the commercial rights for most MLS Next Pro teams, the league's developmental tier. This isn't just about shuffling papers. They are looking to turn minor league soccer into a real business in mid-sized American markets by taking over venue operations, ticketing, and sponsorships. Basically, MLS realize their parent clubs don't have the bandwidth to run these smaller teams effectively. They're looking at what Diamond Baseball Holdings did for minor league baseball and saying, yeah, we'll have some of that. According to reports, they think there's untapped demand in over 100 U.S. markets. It's a bet that if you build small, multi-purpose stadiums and professionalize the front office, people will show up. Meanwhile, the money is no object era of LIV Golf might be hitting a wall. Reports indicate that Saudi Arabia's public investment fund is set to stop funding the league after this season. This is a massive shift. Yasir Al-Rumayyan has already stepped off the LIV board, and now the league has to find outside investors to keep the lights on, which is a tall order when you've already burned through billions. The publishing world is currently undergoing a total renovation as it tries to figure out what a human can do that a robot can't. The news here is that original reporting has become the only defensible moat left for human journalists. Casey Newton argues that as AI handles the synthesis of existing data, the value of a digital publication now rests entirely on its ability to generate unique, novel information that doesn't already exist in a database. This is forcing a strategic pivot. News organizations and independent creators are being pushed to move away from high-volume daily output and toward a more deliberate cadence focused on quality. This shift is also breaking the traditional relationship between creators and the platforms they use. We're seeing a migration of high-profile talent away from Substack. The Ankler, for instance, recently moved to Ben Thompson's Passport platform. According to the reporting, while Substack is great for discovery and network effects when you're starting out, established publications are finding the revenue-sharing model and the lack of direct audience ownership to be a deal-breaker. Speaking of the insider economy, there's an ongoing investigation at The Athletic into reporter Diana Russini and her reporting on former NFL coach Mike Vrabel. The reporting highlights a massive tension in sports media, a line between being a straight reporter and being an insider. At places like ESPN, the insider role often functions more like on-screen talent than traditional journalism. The concern here is the rise of PR swaps, where reporters trade favorable coverage for access. While The Athletic is conducting an ethics review, Russini has reportedly not cooperated with the investigation. It's a messy situation that points to a broader crisis of trust. Domestically, the legal and political landscape for voting is shifting. According to reporting on recent judicial trends, the Supreme Court has significantly narrowed the scope of the Voting Rights Act, which, combined with Florida's new congressional map, is creating a structural advantage for Republicans. This map, pushed by Ron DeSantis, is being called a deliberate dismantling of civil rights progress by critics, as it dilutes the power of black voters. Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries says he isn't taking this lying down. He's launching legal challenges against the Florida map, calling it unconstitutional and a violation of the 14th Amendment. Interestingly, Jeffries pointed out that Democratic super PACs are now outraising their GOP counterparts, which suggests the financial dominance of the right might be hitting a wall. Finally, we have a grim reminder of what happens when that high-growth tech culture goes off the rails. The story of Mike Lynch, the British tech billionaire behind Autonomy, reached a tragic conclusion. Lynch was once the British Bill Gates, but his company was built on a culture of extreme pressure. When Hewlett-Packard bought Autonomy for $11 billion, they eventually wrote down $8 billion of that value and accused Lynch of fraud. While Lynch was ultimately acquitted in a U.S. criminal trial in June 2024, he died tragically in August 2024 when his yacht capsized in a storm. It's a dark cautionary tale for the current AI boom. we're seeing the same ingredients right now. Massive hype, aggressive tactics, and investors who are too afraid of missing out to actually look at the books. History doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. But it definitely rhymes. So to recap, AI agents are getting arms, the Kentucky Derby is anyone's race, and the Supreme Court is making it a lot harder for the maps to look anything like the actual population. Not exactly a relaxing Friday. That's it for the Friday edition of the Liner Notes. Enjoy the weekend, try to clear out some of that emotional debt, and I'll see you back here on Monday.